I was 18 years old, in college, a freshman. That's when I received my first checking account, my first checkbook and debit card. That was a powerful weapon in my hand. As college students, what do you spend money on? Well, in 1995, snacks, laundry, and, you know, taking the girlfriend out to the restaurant here and there. Well, you know, it's all fun and games until you run out of money. Anyone ever run out of money before? When you run out of money and you try to use a debit card, you face the embarrassment at the register of having the cashier tell you what? Declined. Rejected. Well, at 18 years old, I don't know if I really got this concept. You know what I mean? It's like I felt like I had this ever-flowing end of money that would just be in there whenever I needed it. In case you know, in case you're interested, that's not the way it works. And so I was flabbergasted at this thought that when I needed the money that was supposed to be in my account, it wasn't there. So I called the bank. And I said, "What's going on? I tried to use my card and it didn't work." And she said to me, "Well, sir, you don't have any money." "What do you mean I don't have any money? I should have this much money in there." And she says, "You don't." And I'm thinking, certainly they are wrong. This does not make any sense to me. And so now the day before, I had deposited some money in the ATM machine. Now back in 1995, the internet was not all that great. And so just because you put money in an ATM machine in 1995 doesn't mean the bank has it that minute. So that's kind of what happened. So I needed smaller bills, and so I made various transactions in a row. Boom, 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 and overdrew my account. And every time I made a withdrawal from there, it dinged my account like $29 fee. $29, $29, $29. You know what I'm talking about. So not only did I not have the money in there, now I'm owing the bank money. So this is why my card is declined. So she's trying to explain this situation to me, not understanding that I also had written a couple other checks and that those were going to bounce at the same time as well, and that there would be more fees and more embarrassment coming my way. And it just seemed the further I went, I dug myself deeper and deeper into a hole. And this is not good. I was required to keep a certain amount in the bank and only use that amount. Well, I used more than amount, not even knowing that I was being charged more for the money that I didn't even have. Craziness. What happened is, not only did I make a mistake that day, but I failed to maintain accurate records in the bank account. And even before that happened, the amount that I thought I had in my checking account was not what the bank said I had. I was out of balance with the bank. Now, there's this thing called reconciliation. Have you ever reconciled your checkbook? You reconcile your check? If you're not, you better go back and do it today. Now it's a lot easier with the internet, with apps and everything. You can see where you are in the minute to minute. Back then it didn't happen, and of course my 18-year-old mind was too immature to even think about that kind of stuff. My account at this point was unusable. I actually owed more money to the bank than I had even ever deposited to them in the history of my account. Think about that for a moment. And I was beside myself in my dorm room, pleading for mercy with the bank representative on the phone. And interestingly enough, instead of blaming myself at this time, because I'm the one who messed up, I blamed the bank. It was AmSouth Bank. Well, I nicknamed that day ScamSouth. They're a scam. You know, I Cola, my friends. Don't bank at Scam South, you know. Scam South or Amp South didn't even mess up. Dan messed up. But here I'm the one who's angry at them. Well, after speaking with a manager and pleading freshman ignorance, they extended mercy and grace on me, on this ignorant, immature college student. They not only forgave me of all the fees that I had racked up unknowingly, but they also put my account back in the positive, and they helped me make sure that my record matched theirs to make sure that we were not going to have this happen again tomorrow. And then I had to call mom and dad. Hey, guys, I need some help. You think you could mail me $20, you know? Got to do some laundry this week, and my roommates would really be upset at me if I didn't do laundry and stink up the dorm room even further. Well, my parents sent me some money. I put the cash into my account, and my debts were covered, and I was back in the black. What a feeling that was. That is a story to help you understand something that is exactly what Paul is trying to tell us here in Colossians 1:19. Paul says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things." This word reconcile is a very interesting word, and it's exactly what I needed to have happened in my bank account. I should have been keeping accurate records, making sure that everything matched. The bank has the final word on how much money I have. They have to keep it and prove it, and so do I, if I want to use it responsibly. But I was out of sync with the bank, and here Paul tells the Colossians that this is exactly why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came to reconcile us to God. Now, if the word reconcile means to be out of sync, out of balance, yes, that's what I mean. You and I are out of balance with God. You and I are out of sync with God. We don't measure up. We fall short of the standard that God has required. This word reconcile in the Greek here, the New Testament was written in Greek. It has this idea of changing differently or restoring friendship between two parties. It's to change it thoroughly. It's to bring back into sync. So when two friends have an argument, and they're out of relationship because they're fighting, a reconciliation, a reconciler comes in and talks to the parties and puts them back on the same page so that their friendship can continue. This is why Easter matters. Jesus Christ came because we owe a huge debt to God we could never pay back. God has set a standard, and we have swayed from that standard. We have missed the mark. We have missed the boat. And this is why our lives are a train wreck today. Why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Is it God's fault? Absolutely not. It's ours. There's so much heartbreak and pain in this world because we are out of sync with God. We rebel against God. We are prideful. We're greedy. We're selfish. We're hateful. And this is not who God has created us to be. God made men and women in His image. We're His image bearers. And when we look and act differently from what God has ordained us to be and from the beginning, we reflect a negative image of God. This is produced by the sin that's in our heart. And so God had to do something, Paul says. Not only is Jesus the fullness of God, and God was pleased for the fullness of God to dwell within Jesus, but through Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself. to reconcile all things. All of creation is out of sync with God. The world is a broken place. The universe is a broken place. And through Jesus, God restores order. God restores peace. And he makes things right. This is the story of Easter. This is why Jesus had to die. Jesus was not murdered. Jesus willingly gave up his life. Yes, he was arrested. Yes, he was crucified. Yes, he was tortured. But at any time, Jesus could have stopped it. He did what he had to do, because without that happening, you and I could never be reconciled to God. We could never have our accounts match. Ever. Again. Why? Because as me, the helpless college student, sitting in my dorm room in tears with the bank representative on the phone, there was nothing I could have done to pay back all that money that now I owe them. I dug myself into that hole. And as a result, my whole account was a mess. Somebody had to extend mercy to me. Somebody had to extend grace to me. And somebody had to forgive me of all of my debts so that I could be back in the black. This is why Jesus came. And it's through him that it's made possible. He is the standard, the baseline. He is the one who God measures us up to. If we fall short of Jesus' standard, then we're out of sync with God. Jesus was the epitome of love, of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, of holiness, of righteousness. He obeyed God's law and was considered to be righteous and perfect before God. He's holy. We break God's law. We're the opposite. Jesus has righteousness, life, and holiness within him. By our sin, we have death and wickedness. And it's that rebellion, it's that falling short of God's standard that puts us in that position. And here's the problem. This just didn't happen to you yesterday. This just didn't happen to you 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 50 years ago. This happened from your mother's womb. The Bible says that we are born sinners. We are born needing to be reconciled and put back in a right relationship with God. And so Paul says it's through him that he reconciles us to himself. To himself. And puts us back. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, you may say, Dan, what's the big deal? I don't get it. Why do we have to be reconciled to God? Why isn't it okay to be out of balance with God? Who is God to say that I have to measure up and to be a certain way? Well, he's God. He's your creator. He has all authority, all power. He's the creator. He has every right to say whatever he wants and do whatever he wants. We have to abide by his way, his law, his standard. We have nothing, no credit to our account to say otherwise. Yeah, we could choose to go against it, but it always is going to turn out ugly for us every single time. Well, what's the big deal about being out of balance with the bank? I had no more money to spend, right? I had no more money. I was bouncing checks. You know what happens to people who bounce checks, right? You go to jail. You do it intentionally, out of bounds, and keep doing it. Of course, you could do it by accident. But even doing it by accident is still wrong. You rack up fees and penalties you can never pay back. This is what it means. This is why it's important to be reconciled to God. Because the penalty is far worse than not spending money on earth. The penalty of not being reconciled to God and being out of balance, out of sync with God, goes deeper than that. It goes down to the depths of your soul. And it will cost you your life and your soul. your eternal life. Those who are out of sync with God, those who die in their sins, those who die being out of balance with God, face the wrath of God forever in hell. That's the big deal. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. They can be reconciled by believing in him, believing that he died on the cross for their sin, by believing that he rose again on the third day. This is why Easter matters. Easter matters because it gave the exclamation point. It gave the proof, the validity of what Jesus did on the cross was real. Maybe you're saying, well, Dan, maybe I will try myself to reconcile myself to God. You will always fall short. You will. Well, Dan, I'll be good enough. Maybe I'll just start going to church. Maybe I'll start giving money to the poor. Maybe I'll stop doing some of the things that I know are that are wrong in my life. Great, do it. But here's the thing. None of those good works ever measure up, and they will never put you back in the black. None of them. This is why Paul says, it pleased God for all the fullness of God to dwell. And through him it also pleased God, what? To reconcile to himself all things. If you go any other way but Jesus Christ, you will fall short. There is salvation in no other name but his. He's the one who pleased his Father. He's the one who lived a life we couldn't. He's the one that died the death we should have died. He's the one who rose again. It's only in Christ, it's only through Christ that you can be set straight in your relationship with God. Well, Dan, I don't know if I am out of balance. I mean, I've never believed in Jesus, but why would I be out of balance with God? Well, let me show you some proof of this. Paul continues later on in this verse, and he tells the Colossians, who are now believers, he says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." Paul gives the reason why they have to be reconciled. Why? They're alienated. They're strangers apart from God. They're not in the family of God. You're only in the family of God through faith in Jesus. That's it. You're alienated and hostile in mind. You may think God is out to get you. You're wrong. You're the one who's out to get God. You're the one who's trying to play God by your own life and your own morality and your own decision making. You're hostile to God. And then he says in the book of Romans, chapter 5, Paul puts it this way. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we now be saved from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Paul lays out some serious things in this verse. First, he says that we were sinners in verse 8. Then he says in verse 9, because we're sinners, we've now inherited to receive the wrath of God. That's the anger of God. And then he says in verse 10 that we are the enemies of God. You see, I don't think people who are apart from Christ think of themselves in these terms. But yet this is exactly what the Bible says of them. And of me before I was in Christ, and of you before you were in Christ, that you were a sinner deserving of wrath who was once an enemy, hostile to God in your mind and your evil deeds, alienated from him. See, that paints the picture of out of balance, does it not? Out of sync. Something's not right here. And when you stand before God on judgment day, being out of sync, out of balance with God, there is no second chance. You must be reconciled to God in this life, now. You're at war with God. That's what the Bible says. We're enemies. We're sinners. We're hostile. We're at war with God. That's why the world is so messed up. The world's at war with God. Because they oppose Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can reconcile us to God. He says in Ephesians 2:13 and 16, he says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off," it's another way to say alienated, like he says in Colossians 1, "you were far off from God, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility," or hostile in mind, "by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God, one body, through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." Why does God have to reconcile us? Because we hate him. Because we're hostile against him. There's no reason for God to make peace if there's no war. There's no reason for God to make peace if there's no one fighting against him. And all of this is an action by God. All of it. That day it was the manager's decision that said, "Help that dumb college kid. Let's have mercy on him." And it's only God who says, "I love that person. I love that man. I love that woman. That's why I sent my son, so the war can be over." Jesus makes peace with God and men. Isn't it what the angels saying to the shepherds in the Christmas story? "Peace on earth and goodwill towards men." Again, from the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, by taking that fruit, disobeying God's command, they fired the first shot. Right? They fired the first shot of the war. And because we belong to Adam and Eve and we're their offspring, we continue the battle. And it's God that has to step in and intervene and say, "Enough! If you want the war to be over, I'll make your account straight. I'll make it settled. But it's only going to be done my way." That's why Jesus is coming to make peace by the blood of his cross. He has now reconciled us in his body of flesh. So there was a price to pay, wasn't there? In order for there to be peace, there's always a price to pay. That's the story of history, isn't it? The greatest periods of peace had to come at the expense of war. That's true. And it cost Jesus everything. He created the nails that held him to the cross. He created the men that nailed him to it. He created the leaders who led the people to yell, "Crucify him." He made the wood that he hung upon. His body was broken. His flesh was torn. And all of this was possible. All of this was necessary. So that God can say, "If you believe, your debt is paid. If you believe, you don't have to be at war with me anymore. If you believe, you're no longer in the red. you could be in the black. But it has to be done my way. And Paul says that he kills the hostility through the cross. The cross is such a violent picture. There wasn't just a trickle of blood flowing from the body of Jesus on the cross. The cross was a violent picture of death, a cruel way to die. Jesus, it's a miracle he even survived the scourging, the whipping, the torture before the cross. Most people probably would have died before then. But the cross, he died a cruel death. He had to. He had to endure the violence so there could be peace. To bring all accounts settled. And then Paul says this, Colossians 1. He has now reconciled us in the body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. See, you see the parallel there? You're alienated and hostile in mind. That's how you're out of balance with God. Well, what happens when God reconciles you? What happens when God brings you back in the sink? You're holy. Me? Holy? Dan, do you know me? Blameless. No blame coming my way. Nothing that sticks to my record. And above reproach? Test the definition of what it looks to be reconciled. God takes his enemies and makes them his dear children. He adopts us into his family. Who does that? This is the love of God. This is the love of God, that while we were still sinners, that while we were his enemies, God reconciled us to God by the death of his Son. When they forgave me all those debts, there was a lot in me that didn't believe them. I had to see the proof. I didn't even want to look at my debit card until I saw proof that there was money in there. Before mom and dad ever sent me $20 so I could do my laundry. I had to see the proof. And it's 1995, so when you go to the ATM machine and print it out, it doesn't update right away. It has to wait till midnight the next day for the machine to be updated. And I went to the machine and I put in my code and da-da-da. Spit out a balance request. And I almost didn't want to look at it, you know. It came out and it said, I had but just a few dollars. Instead of negative whatever it was. And I had my proof. And although I had $3 to my name, I took that receipt, put it in my pocket, and said, thank you, God. I have proof that I've been forgiven. I have had proof that the manager has reconciled my account. I'm good. This is what God has done through an empty tomb. The resurrection of Jesus and the empty tomb he left behind is the receipt of your reconciliation to God. It is the proof, the evidence, that everything Jesus accomplished in his life to obey the Father fully on our behalf was good. It was proof that although Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was proof that God the Father was satisfied. It was proof that when Jesus yelled out before he died on the cross, it is finished. which is the Greek word tetelestai. Say that with me. I'd like to hear you speak Greek. Tetelestai. That's the phrase translated. It is finished. Which is what the Roman Empire stamped on your taxes when you were paid in full to Caesar. Tetelestai. You don't owe Caesar any more taxes. And yet Jesus on the cross cries out for everyone to hear, tetelestai! And he gives up his spirit and he dies. What is Jesus yelling at the cross in that moment? Mission accomplished. Debt paid in full. No more war with God. God and sinners reconciled. Jesus opened up the way for you and I to know that we are loved, that we are forgiven, and that we have been brought into a right relationship with God. And once you believe in God, God no longer considers you an enemy, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. We're His beloved children. Fully loved, fully approved of, fully accepted. Maybe you never had a father that loved you like that. And it's hard for you to picture what a loving father looks like. Let me help you this morning to understand that God is the picture. God is the example, the proof of the father that you never had, who loved you so much that he gave you Jesus so that you can be set free. So, Dan, how can I be reconciled? You must come by faith. You must come to understand today, I can't earn it. I can't work for it. I can't pay for it. I can't ever be good enough. I can't. You're at the mercy of the judge. Like I was at the mercy of the bank representative. But being at the mercy of the judge of the universe has far more pressing consequences. And Jesus said, all those who come to me, I will never cast out. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be reconciled to God, this is yours today. You can be saved. You can be free today. The war can be over. Believe. Have faith in Christ. Have faith in Christ because you are a sinner who falls short and that you're out of balance with God. And have faith that that record was paid for completely by what Jesus did on the cross. That's what it's all about. Believe who you are, sinner in need of grace, and believe in the only Savior that can match and give you that grace you need. And believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and has resurrected on the third day to reconcile us to God. And we have an empty tomb to prove it. We have an empty tomb to prove it. It's the receipt. I'm in the black. And I have every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm rich, not with finances, but with love, with grace, with mercy, with peace, with God. My prayer for you today is that you would understand the reconciliation that is available to you today. You don't have to keep living your life out of sync with God. get your account settled today by trusting in Christ for the salvation and forgiveness of your sins. But Dan, I have so many other questions. What about this and what about that? All that will be worked out later. Trust me. It will not make any sense to you unless you first come to grips with who Christ is and what he's done for you. I would love to show you more. I'd love to help you know this Christ and be saved today. This is what Easter is all about. A crucified Savior who rose again to give us right relationship with God. Let's pray. Help us, O God, today to know this truth. Father, today I pray for everyone in this room who might be struggling with this truth, who are out of sync with God, and they need to be reconciled. Lord, help us to know that we can be forgiven. We can be set free. Help us to know that Christ is the only way. We need you, Lord. What an Easter it would be to know that somebody in this room had their account reconciled with God. Move with your Holy Spirit. Fill this place. Draw sinners to repentance in Jesus' name. And help us, O God, to know and worship you because of this truth. Thank you for the empty tomb, the resurrection of Christ, which proves all of this was made true and effective. And there's literally nothing in our life that can hold us back, that can't break free the chains and binds that we find ourselves in. Help us go to Christ. As we continue in a spirit of prayer this morning, I just want us all just to consider the truth of this passage as we quiet ourselves before God. And if you are here and you find yourself to be one that has agreed that you need to be reconciled, I ask you just to ask God right now to do it. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to bring you back into a right relationship. Ask him to set you free, that you believe in Jesus, that he died for you, that he rose again. Just pray to him right now. He's listening. He's waiting. Get this settled today. Stand with us as we sing. If we could help you in any way, if you've made a decision today to receive Christ, we want to know. We want to help you. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Let's sing it.